Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hamas has named the October 7th mastermind as their new leader. Let's get more on that from News Nation correspondent. And it's Joe Khalil. Hi, Joe. What does this mean to the ceasefire talks, if anything?
You know, if it does have any kind of impact, it's certainly not good, right? This is the man who is widely accepted to be the mastermind of the October 7th attacks, Yahya Sinwar. He is now in place of the previous leader who was killed in this Israeli strike. So the signal that it sends is that there's no remorse or regret for the October 7th attacks. Now, we did pose this question to the White House, and they say this isn't going to impact fundamentally what they are doing in terms of their work, getting on the ground, trying to broker the ceasefire between Israel and between Hamas and all those elements, and focusing on the hostages that are still, you know, in captivity at this moment. But symbolically, it doesn't give you a whole lot of faith. And certainly if you think of it, not just from an American perspective, but from Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been a bit of a hardliner on trying to make any peace deal, you wonder where his head is at also in response to this.
Right now, there are no talks and none are scheduled. Is that right?
It seems like there's sort of this constant in the background back channeling. I mean, just yesterday, President Biden, as we were at the White House, held a number of calls with the president of Egypt, with the leader of Qatar, and some of our regional partners trying to, you know, continue to unite everybody, try to get everyone on the same page. The White House described this as the final phase. The problem with that wording is, what does that mean? How long is each phase? And, you know, it doesn't seem as though we're right on the brink of a deal, especially as we've got these threats looming of, you know, Iran striking Israel back in a major way as a retaliation for Israel taking out leaders that were inside of Iran just a couple of days ago. So it seems like it's sort of a boiling pot right now that could boil over at any moment, while in the background there's sort of a faint, you know, you get a sense that the negotiation is still happening to try to bring this conflict to an end.
It was sounding the other day like an attack on Israel was imminent, like any minute, and so far nothing has happened. What are we to make of that delay?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And just, I believe, Monday, Secretary of State Blinken basically put out another warning directly to Iran saying, look, don't do this. You do not have to retaliate in a major way. I think what sometimes people forget is that Iran has its own domestic politics, too. Its leaders have hardliners in their government, just below their government, influential people that they have to appease, much like American politics and Israeli politics. And sometimes for them, it's just about a posture of we're going to stand up to the big, tough West, you know, Israel and the United States. So sometimes Iran has to sort of put on this facade of strength, knowing that, you know, they are greatly outgunned by both Israel and the United States. Even back in April, when Israel was the target of this barrage of missiles, hundreds of missiles coming from Iran, the United States and Israel and our allies basically knocked down every single one. And there was a lot of speculation that basically there was a back channel and that the United States sort of knew what to expect and when to expect it. You know, in some ways, it's Iran posturing, and maybe that's why there's been all of this talk about having to prepare for an attack without actually seeing one yet. I don't want to diminish the possibility that something is coming, because certainly it is possible, and American officials have already confirmed they've seen some movement with weapons and military training on the ground in Iran this week that would suggest preparation for something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you got to take all of that into consideration.
That last attack by Iran, they kind of telegraphed that, and it was described as more of a message, that one was. And this one,
yeah,
I guess, would be different, wouldn't it?
Well, we don't know. It could be much the same. It could still be telegraphed. And I think the difference this time is that while that attack happened in April, you did not also have Hezbollah, which is Iran's biggest proxy, also in a tit-for-tat, basically every single day firing missiles and rockets into Israel, and Israel firing them back into Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
That does add an extra layer of complication, because Israel is taking incoming from a number of sides. The U.S. has already made that clear, that that does complicate the way that the U.S. and Israel would have to defend against an attack like that. So we hope for the best. You know, we hope that it's not certainly a large-scale attack beyond the sort of sending a message like they did back in April. And I'll just, you know, add that while I think you're absolutely right, your read on that, you know, sending hundreds of rockets and missiles into another country, you know, certainly is not exactly a subtle way of sending a message either.
No, it isn't. Terrific insights. Really appreciate it. News Nation Washington correspondent Joe Khalil. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for having me.